Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 220, the episode I thought would have been posted 2 or 3 weeks ago. I had a big plan to post this episode before Christmas, but I had problems uploading the files, which I hope I have solved. If not, the man will solve them because the man solves all my problems. I am looking out into my front yard. It's covered with about 2 inches of snow, which is really a pathetic amount of snow. The road in front of the house also covered with snow and a little bit of ice. And, you know, we Southerners are fairly pathetic when it comes to winter weather. And you are welcome to laugh at us if you live someplace that actually gets real snow and ice and all of that all winter long. But, you know, a big part of the problem here is we just don't have the equipment to clear the roads. So I remember living in Massachusetts, and you could have 2 feet of snow, and as soon as the snow stopped, the plows were out, the roads were cleared, the ice was dumped and all of that. Not the ice was dumped, the salt was dumped. You know, and it just made it, you know, and people were on the road, but that doesn't happen here. So, and we don't have the experience that some of my northern friends do. But it has been a very cold few days. I think that's true for a lot of the country, the United States. Although talking to my friends in California, they're having a great time. Doing their best, trying not to lord it over the rest of us. Anywho, Happy New Year. It is Friday, January 5th. I am actually sitting here working on Stars Upon Stars, the sequel to Birds in the Air, and I decided to take a break because the man has gone to get his hair cut. Will is at school. They had a 2-hour delay. The man took him, of course, because I don't drive on any kind of road that has any kind of cold stuff on it. Jack is still home from college, and he is upstairs asleep. It's so cute. He sets his alarm, and you hear it going off around 9, and then and sometimes you see him at 9, and sometimes you do not see him until noon or 1. It's very sweet, but every day he's trying to get up at 9. And he will be home for another week. They have a really long break, and it's, in some ways, I think it's too long. Not for me. I'm very happy to have Jack home, but I just can't, you know, it's like when you're in college, that's kind of your home. That's kind of where where you live and, you know, where a lot of your friends are. And a lot of Jack's friends are going back to school this coming week. So he's going to have some time where he's just twiddling his thumbs till he can go back and, you know, educate himself a little bit more. But, yeah. So anyway, but this is, so Jack's asleep and Travis, the quilt dog, is here behind me. It's an opportunity to talk to you very quickly. So I'm taking a break from writing. Speaking of writing and books, my new book is out, Margaret Goes Modern. It's a collection of short stories. It's very cheap on the Kindle right now. I think it's $1.99. The paperback is $8.95 on Amazon. And it's, I have to tell you, I mean, it's not that long. It's about 120 pages. But I hope you like it. And so far I've heard good feedback, but I always like want to say, you know, want to point that out. If you order it, as a, you know, in print form, in paperback form, you're going to get it and go, huh, this is sort of a thinnish book. It is, but it's also kind of an inexpensive book. The way I think of it is, not much more than a magazine. You can tell I'm feeling a little anxious about that, but I hope you'll read it. I hope you like it. If you have Kindle Unlimited, you can read it for free. So it's good to have that out. We're going to start doing some giveaways and promotional stuff. And in fact, I've got an idea. Let's do a giveaway right now. I'm going to give away 2 copies of Margaret Goes Modern. All you got to do to enter the giveaway is leave a comment, and I'm going to write this on my calendar that the giveaway, you have, let's say it's January 5th, let's say till the end of the month, January 31st, to leave a comment. I probably will have another podcast episode posted by then, so you can leave a comment on this episode or the next episode. You can comment all you want. I love hearing from people. As you know, anything to buy a comment is my motto. But yeah, let's do that, and you can win yourself a copy. If you already have one, you can win yourself a copy to give to a friend. Be a nice little Galentine's Day gift, as Leslie over at Parks and Rec would say. So anyway, I have not been on my sewing machine for quite some time. I can't remember when I made the decision. I think I already talked about it in the last episode, that I did not end up entering Sweep Exit into QuiltCon because I wasn't 100% happy with the quilting. So that is on my list. I have so much I want to do, as always. And sometimes that feel is like it keeps me from getting started on anything. I kind of want to start on a new quilt, but I feel like I should finish the quilting on Sweep Exit, and I should quilt Stars Upon Stars. I'm thinking now about, and I have other quilts to quilt, but I'm also thinking about other quilts I want to go along with the Stars Upon Stars book. And in the book, Emma is going to be making a melon quilt, I think that I talked about last time, cheddar and black. And she's also helping Angie Byers make a double wedding ring quilt, and then and a complicated kind of a Stars Upon Stars block, which is actually a very complicated little block. Just well, it's not complicated. It's like a lone star, but small, so like tiny diamonds. So there are all kinds of quilts I kind of want to make. To do a trunk show, I'm doing some guild visits coming up. I'll be in Atlanta this summer. I'm going to be in Knoxville coming up here in April. And I'm going to try to book some more quilt guild trunk shows at guilds. And so, yeah, I need some quilts to do, but I also need to finish. Yeah, and I'm also knitting a pair of socks for my editor, her Christmas present. I'm going to get that a little bit late. I did finish my scarves and hat for my writing group girls. That was fun. I am rusty as a knitter, and so, you know, so I kind of made some rookie mistakes just in terms of I just started knitting and should have done knitting in a stockinette stitch, and then the scarves were curling up. I'm like, oh, maybe that'll come out. Maybe they'll straighten out when I block them. It straightened it out for the time that the scarves were actually on the blocking boards. I have all kinds of great knitting stuff back from the time earlier in this century where I knit so much. So I have these great interlocking rubber squares that are for blocking knits, and I blocked the scarves, and as soon as I took the pins out, they curled right back up. But the girls don't seem to mind. They really like their scarves, so yay. So far 2018 has been a knitting year, but I'm ready for it to be a quilting year. In fact, tonight is Friday night. I'm thinking maybe Pam over at Hip to Be a Square has posted a new episode, or there'll be a new episode of The Stitch I could watch, because Pam and I have for a long time had a Friday night thing going on. I don't even have my sewing machine set up from where I took it down off the table for Christmas. I want to get that set up. I want to get back to work. I haven't started with my quilting planner, which my friend Patty gave me for Christmas. She had gotten an extra copy, like a promotional copy. She's a blogger over at Elm Street Quilts. I will do my best to put a link in the show notes. She does a really nice newsletter and some great quilt along stuff. Anyway, so I now have this, which I also gave my mom for Christmas, which I can say, if I didn't say it before, I probably didn't say it before, but that's what I gave her. So I definitely want to get planning and quilting and doing all kinds of stuff. But for now, I need to get back to writing and finishing up Stars Upon Stars, the revision. So I'm going to leave you now and look forward to talking to you more soon. But for right this very minute, I say let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. Hello and welcome to episode 220, the Happy Holidays episode. Are you ready, those of you who observe Christmas? I am not, and I feel really good about it. By the way, it is Saturday, December 16th, I'm sitting here in the front room with Travis the Quilt Dog, who is snoring. So you may hear some
really loud, sort of quite hilarious noises, and that would be Travis. I am sitting surrounded by some new furniture. That sounds wrong. I'm not in the middle of a circle of furniture, but I have two new pieces of furniture. These are pieces that belong to my mother-in-law, Melveen, and that have been in her Charlotte house waiting for the man to come get them for about a year. You know how things get. Things get busy. Things have been busy. And what I find in my life is I actually am pretty good about getting stuff done. I'm not a huge procrastinator. There are some big projects that I feel like I'm in a constant two steps forward, one step back situation. My attic, for instance, I have done some attic work in the last few weeks, but now it's Christmas time, and that means stuff will be sort of scuttled out of the way. I don't know if scuttled is a verb in that sense. What would that be, a transitive verb? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there to sound like I was a halfway competent English major, which I was not. In any event, there's stuff that goes up in the attic to get it out of the way and then kind of never makes its way back downstairs. So, yeah, the scrap exchange, I have to say, has been huge with the attic work because they take so much stuff. It's been great. I hate throwing things away. Any event, anytime I have a big job, if it's doable, or even a small job, if it's right in front of me and doable, I can get it done. But if there are two steps I have to take, or sometimes even just one step I have to take before I get to the actual job, that keeps me from getting it done. And so I think if the man could have just taken the minivan down to Charlotte and picked up these pieces of furniture, would have gotten done. But there was one more step that had to be taken, and that's renting a truck to do it. And, you know, and that gets in your way, and that got in his way, other than he is a really busy guy with a full-time job, and then the job of trying to get some books out here through Milton Falls Media. And we are behind, but that's just how it goes. Margaret Goes Modern, by the way, very, very close. We hope that we're going to have it out in, like, October, and then by December 1st. And now I think it'll be out end of year or first thing 2018. Same with the Quilt Fiction podcast, which I have recorded quite a bit of, but that again I think will probably be mid-January. So stuff gets pushed back. You know how that goes. Anywho, finally, the man, feeling very guilty about not having retrieved this furniture from my mother-in-law's house, the house that now belongs to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, who do not like antique furniture and have patiently held on to these pieces for us. So he's feeling guilty about that. So he finally got down there Wednesday and came back, and now I have a fabulous roll top desk with cubbies and drawers. I have drawers. I'm so excited about having all these drawers. And yeah, because I kind of, not having drawers, there are drawers upstairs. I have a desk upstairs, but now it's kind of in what's Will's room, and he needs a desk, so that's kind of become his desk. So, and even, you know, before it kind of became his desk, I was more using it as storage. So now I have real drawers that I can put supplies in and my files in. A couple of the drawers are really deep. They are sort of like file cabinet drawers. If they had been building, well, they did build wooden file cabinets back in the day. So excited about that. And then also got a piece as a sideboard, which might be, it's tall, so I don't know if you would call it a high board. It comes up to my rib cage, top of my rib cage. More drawers. So the thing about getting these pieces right before planning to decorate the house for Christmas is it took a long time to rearrange the room. This is here in the front room to get everything rearranged. So the room was balanced. There's certainly room for these pieces, but they're big pieces. So I had to move stuff around and empty stuff out to move it, and then realize that actually I'm talking about my shift robe and my bookcase that has all my quilting books, and realizing afterwards, like, no, they actually, that those pieces were best where they were. So refilling them. I'm still kind of recovering from all of this, but, yeah, but I love these pieces. I love old stuff. The lines, they're not ornate pieces. The lines are very simple, which is my preference. So I'm really, really happy. We have not decorated for Christmas, really. We do have a tree. It is up. It has no lights on it. Yesterday, I got together with my friends, Miss Amy and Miss Danielle. These are my old friends. We met in prepared childbirth class back in 1999, a few months before our first children were born. And we've been friends ever since. So we are coming on, just a few weeks shy of 19 years of friendship. And now Miss Danielle lives in Charlotte, but her son goes to UNC. Hooray! So now she is in town on occasion to pick him up and drop him off. So we went to a very nice place called Farrington's yesterday, the three of us, and had a lovely lunch. And we all confessed that we all had trees that had not been in any way decorated. And we all went home and took pictures of our undecorated, unlit trees. And this is unusual because Miss Danielle is a December baby. Her birthday is December 6th, so she usually decorates the tree for her birthday. So I don't know what's happening to us, but we're falling behind. This is late even for me, and I wait longer than most people I know to decorate. So undecorated house, that will change today. Jack came home yesterday. Hooray. He looks good. I think his exams went well. He looks very handsome. He just has become, you know, he's still way too thin. He's still so thin. Eat. I hope we'll put a little weight on him over the holiday. But and he seems to be taller. He seems like he might be 6'2". But he is, you know, he's really he's becoming a man. And so he looks great, looks very handsome and happy. And he actually, he didn't go out last night, unlike Thanksgiving when he came home and immediately left the house. He came home. I think I was out, so he and the man got home around 1. And he just chilled out and hung out on the computer as he does. And then when it was time for dinner, I made a Cobb salad. He loves Cobb salad, but he was, of course, asleep. Got up later. So we'll decorate today. And, I'm looking forward to it because now it's only really a week. It's 10 days till Christmas. And so I'm ready to be inspirited. I'm ready to go. Just finally did my Amazon Christmas shopping. And probably need to do a little store shopping. We're not going to have a huge Christmas this year. Nobody wants anything huge, you know? And so I think I'm going to get a Fitbit band. They have them in coral now. That's what I've asked for. And a bottle of Chanel No. 5. My favorite perfume is called Belladonna. And it is, I call it Belladonna, maybe Belladonna. But I always have called it Belladonna. And it doesn't matter because it's out of print. They stopped making it. So it's a floral scent. And so I'm switching over to Chanel No. 5, which is, of course, a classic scent. Also floral. And that I've always really liked a lot. So switching over to Chanel No. 5. But that's it. You know, no one needs a new phone or new iPad or anything like that. So I think it's going to be a chill Christmas where we wrap a lot of little things. Like, here's a package for you. What? Oh, neat. Underwear. Yay. You know, really the fun is looking at the wrapped presents under the tree. It's never as good. You know, even, I always ask for a lot of books. I am asking for books. I am asking, among other things, for the new Elizabeth Berg book. Because it's, and now I can't remember what it's called. I'll put it in the show notes. It's being compared to A Man Called Ove, so we know we've got a cranky old man in there. But Elizabeth Berg is a writer whose early work I love. She publishes about a book a year. And the last 5 years have not been good years. Have been kind of... there have been some books that, you know... I don't know, but her early books are wonderful. And she started out really writing more literary fiction, but it was what I love, which is kind of literary fiction, but also kind of domestic, family-centered stories. But well done, realistic. They're not feel-good stories, but you kind of do feel good reading them. And
one of her early books is Durable Goods, and that was a wonderful book. And, you know, I hung in there for a long time, and then she just started writing, excuse my French, but kind of crap. And so this book, I didn't even know it was out. I heard a little buzzing, oh, I'm going to read the new Elizabeth Berg. And then we went, Amy and Daniil and I went to a bookstore, this place, Farrington. It's actually a retirement community, but it has this great little village, and it has a wonderful independent bookstore called McIntyre's. So after we had lunch, we went to McIntyre's, and I picked up the independent bookseller's newsletter, and that was one of the books that was recommended. And so I looked it up on Amazon, and it's gotten great reviews from like the review publications, and it was like People Magazine's Book of the Week. And then the customer reviews were good, and somebody said, loved what I just said, loved her early books, didn't love her later books, but this is a return to form. And I thought, well, I'm gonna take a chance on this. I'm going to take a chance on this because I did love her. And if she's back to form, that could be a great Christmas book. You know, because a Christmas novel, for me, I want something that is good, you know, that's well written and good, you know, interesting characters and is engaging, but not depressing. You know, and so I have my fingers crossed for this. I'm also asking for the new Wendell Berry collection of essays. I'm asking for Gwen Marston book. It's just basically it's a collection of her quilts, and I dreamt about Gwen Marston. I dreamt about Gwen Marston, y'all. Now, if you don't know who Gwen Marston is, and I kind of think you probably do, but if you don't, she is the original liberated quilt maker. She has a deep and long history in the quilting community. She, way back in the day, was, you know, doing a lot of quilt history work. And she is the person who kind of got me into quilt making. You know, my origin story has to do a lot with stumbling across her book, Liberated Quilt Making. I'd always wanted to make a quilt and, you know, tried to, would get books out of the library, couldn't follow the directions, got very scared off by fractions, I'm so math phobic, and just would turn the books in and just think, this isn't something I can do. That's too bad, because I love quilts. And then I stumbled upon Liberated Quilt Making in the library, checked it out, you know, and her thing was like, don't worry about the fractions, right? Just cut stuff out and sew it back together. And it was, for me, it made me think, oh, I could do that. And, you know, it's a long story, too, all that I did not know about quilting. It's so funny and cute to me now how much I did not know. I didn't know you could use a sewing machine. So I went to Joann's and bought fabric and cut it into funky strips and hand sewed it together and, you know, which takes a long time, so I had these tiny, tiny blocks. But I loved doing it, and they were very cool. And that gave me kind of permission to make quilts, to do it. And, you know, it took a while until I actually got into a quilt-making class. But I've made quilts before I even took a quilt-making class over at Thimble Pleasures. I learned from my friend Audrey, who makes quilts. I'd gone to her house in Greensboro, and she had her sewing machine set up in her basement and was making quilts. I'm like, oh, you can do this on a sewing machine. And I had a sewing machine. And that's kind of so. But Gwen Marston was the person who really inspired me, made me believe, okay, it doesn't have to be perfect. We don't have to worry about the fractions. So she's sort of my patron saint of quilt making. And here's an interesting thing. You know when I dreamed about her? I dreamed about her Thursday night. It's Saturday now, so 2 nights ago. She was coming into town, having all these classes, very exciting. I was like, Gwen Marston travels to teach? I didn't think she did. But Thursday was the day that I found out both of my quilts, Sit-In and Wing, were rejected by QuiltCom, which was disappointing. But I have to tell you,
a few days earlier, maybe even last week, I was thinking, you know what? I don't think they're going to get in. Or I think there's a real possibility they won't. And I love sit-in, especially. And it's I loved making it so much. I love how it looks. And I thought it might have a shot. I really did. I'll just be honest with you. I thought it had a shot. And a lot of people said to me, oh, I can't wait to see that in Pasadena. And so I was, you know, so I was disappointed. I was like, ah, you know, I really thought. You know, the great thing about being a writer is you're rejected so often. And sometimes in such deeply painful ways that having sit-in, because I love it, having it rejected was disappointing, but I just felt like, oh, okay. You know, I spent probably an hour feeling kind of like, why do I feel sad? I'm like, oh, because I got rejected. And then it kind of went away. And I think it's like, well, I still get the quilt, right? I can do what I want with it. And the other thing that was good is both quilts that I entered have technical difficulties. They're problems, you know, with Wing, one of the things I learned is that I should have made it wider. I love the quilting on it. It's spiral quilting. It's, you know, a series of spirals that I think helps give the quilt movement. But because the quilt is so narrow, it really won't stay flat. And I think it's hard to make a spiral quilt lay flat, although I have another one, Meeting of the Geese, that I did, one of the Birds in the Air quilts. That lays pretty flat. It's a much bigger quilt. The spiraling is not as dense, so those two things add to the fact that it lays flat. Wing does not, and I was a little concerned about that. And sit-in has some problem spots that you can't see in the pictures that I've shown of it, of course. But there are some spots, and I had thought if it got in, I was probably, you know, I could, if I had to turn around and send it the next day, I could. But I really also thought, oh, I'm going to do a little repair work. And now I don't have to, because I'm not going to, I don't think I'll submit it anywhere else. I like, you know, I think I'll just keep it for me and go on with my work. So it was, but so interesting that night I dreamt about Gwen Marston, who is my patron saint of quilting, and who opened the door for me to get into quilting. So, you know, I'm sure there are a number of ways to interpret that, her showing up. But I think it's all good. So, and you know, so now I'm being sort of reflective and thoughtful. I will say these things, I have looked at quilts on Instagram that got in. I've yet to see one I didn't think, wow, that's a great quilt. Because there's so many great quilts. It makes me feel excited about the modern quilt movement, which is soon, this sounds critical, but I was like, oh, it's getting so good and people are doing so much interesting work. I wonder if at some point it's going to kind of fragment, not necessarily in a negative way, but if new movements are going to grow out of it. But that's neither here nor there at this moment. What's important is so many beautiful quilts, and they had a ton, I think close to 1,500 submitted, and I'm not sure how many they accepted. It was in the 300s. So that, and the other amazing thing is, of course, I'm looking at QuiltCon rejects, and yeah, there's some you're like, yeah, that wasn't going to get in, but there's so many beautiful, amazing quilts that got rejected that I felt like, all right, you know, they're curating a show. There wasn't a quilt I saw that got in where I thought, oh, that's not as good as my quilt. I didn't have that feeling, which is really kind of lovely, because we may have all had that experience, whether it's the girl who got the guy or the girl. We love everyone here that you wanted. And you're kind of going, she's not as cute as I am. You know, you have had that experience. If you submit, it's possible you've submitted quilts to shows where you saw the quilts that got in and thought, that's not, I like my quilt better. And, you know, that's never a good feeling. And you know, so when you look at a situation like this, where all the quilts I'm seeing that got in are wonderful, and seeing quilts by, you know, obviously quilts by quilters I don't know, but also quilters that I do know or I know of, who got quilts rejected, and they're great quilts. You're like, all right, this is kind of cool.
you know? So I'm very philosophical about this. And what I'm kind of more interested now, what I'm more interested in now, is like thinking about 2018. I'm not a big resolutions person. I feel like as soon as I say I'm going to do something, that is almost a guarantee that I won't do it. I've had success with some things. Like I can, if I'm very clear with myself, I'm not going to eat sugar. I can. I've gone through long periods without eating sugar, which is good because sugar is not good for anyone really, but particularly I don't think it's good for me or my teeth. Or if I just say I'm just going to eat 90% dark chocolate, I can do that, and I love 90% dark chocolate. But if I say I'm going to spend all year just doing red and white quilts, nah, that's not going to happen. As soon as I say it, I know that, in fact, not only is that not going to happen, I won't make one. Because that is just seems to be how I roll. So I don't do a lot of resolutions. I do try to stand up straighter. My posture is not good. I'm slumpy. In 1 year, I'm going to learn to do this. I need to start taking yoga, you guys, and doing stretches. If I make one New Year's resolution, just a general resolution, it would be to stretch more, because I'm 53, going through the change, as they say, and one of the things that affects is your joints, which I did not realize, but now sometimes walking down the stairs in the morning, I feel like I'm 100 years old. I really do. So I think stretching could be in order, and so I'd like to do that. But as far as quilt making, I continue, and I feel like I've talked about this for years, just like cleaning out my attic. We'll be as long as I'm podcasting, which I hope for a long time is for a long time to come, I will be talking about improving my skills. But that's what I'd really like to do. I would like to produce some quilts by the end of 2018 that if I were to submit them to a show, QuiltCon or other shows, I would not feel a panic like, well, if they get in, I'm gonna have to do some repair work. I really want to work on that, on skills, making quilts that, just being more careful and more thoughtful, working more slowly, being more intentional from the beginning. I think that many of the problems that I see with sit-in, with the applique is, you know, I think at first I was just fooling around, and I should have practiced more doing this zigzag stitch around the chairs, and I should have at that time made corrections, but I just wanted to get on to the next one. So now I know. So I feel like I've learned a lot from the quilts I've made this year. I do feel like the quilts I'm really excited by right now are these antique quilts, antique traditional, as opposed to contemporary traditional. Can you hear Travis snoring? He's snoring now. Anyway, I'm looking at these quilts and loving them, and I keep seeing them. And I follow some antiques quilt people like on Facebook, you know, and quilt dealers, and follow Bill Volkenberg, who collects quilts. And I see this stuff, and I love it. And I would like to make some more, you know, just traditional block quilts. And, you know, like the last time, the melon quilt, which people in responding to that have said, oh, I want to make an orange peel quilt too. And, you know, I looked up orange peel quilt, and like, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. But, you know, it's like I want to do that. And I'm hoping that these quilts will help me practice skills building. That's what I'd really like to do. Just become technically better. Without, you know, I'm not aiming for perfection, and I know I've talked earlier this year about, you know, not needing to be perfect, which is absolutely true. I don't need to be perfect. Hello, Trevi. He's now dreaming. His nose is twitching. I think... that will remain true, but I also want to be more careful. So I'm okay with, you know, imperfections. If everything doesn't turn out exactly right, I truly am. But I'm not okay when I finish a quilt and
piece the top together and realize like there's seams that aren't full quarter inch and so they're going to come apart. That I'm not okay with. I want to be more careful. I want to be more, mindful. I want to do some mindful quilting, people. Mindful quilting. So I'm kind of exciting. I am exciting. I'm kind of exciting. Don't you find me exciting? I find me exciting. No, I am I'm excited for the year to come. Here's the other thing I've been thinking about. And by the way, I'm not doing quilt diaries today because I want to get this posted. It's 10 days before Christmas. I'll feel good if I get this posted, quite frankly, but fingers crossed. I felt in some ways that this past year, I really had an eye toward submitting quilts to QuiltCon. And I think I want to shake that off this coming year. I probably will submit quilts to QuiltCon. I think that Sweep Exit, which I have not requilted, but I still like a whole lot, and I'm excited to redo the parts of the quilt that I want to requilt and make better. I will fold that away or hang it on a wall, I'll submit that to QuiltCon next year. But I don't want my quilt making to be about that this year. I want it to be about that sounds dumb to say. I want it to be about making quilts I love. I have made quilts I love. I just don't want to have, I don't want to get caught up in competition, and I can be really competitive. So I think that's what I want to do is make quilts that I love and not think so much about, competition this year. This coming year. So that's where I am. And I have my sewing machine put away right now. Although a couple years ago, I made a Christmas pillow, at least the top for it. I don't think I've sewn the back on. So I could see, if I have a spare minute, I'd love to finish making that pillow. I don't know if I will, because I am still knitting Hogwarts scarves for my writing group girls. And I've got two done. I'm halfway done with the third. And then I'm going to make a hat for Ellie because she's already got a Hufflepuff scarf. And the hat won't take any time at all. I have a great, easy pattern. I was about to say recipe. So I'm trying to think if I have anything else I need to tell you before I say goodbye and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year. No, I like being in this place where I'm just feeling a little philosophical and reflective, and I finished my essay about why I make quilts, and I'm looking forward to revising that, and I probably will share it on the blog. I might even record it, so people who don't have time because it's a long piece, it's like 3,000 words, so if you don't have time, a lot of people don't have time to read, but have time to listen as they commute. So I might even record it because that was very fun to write. All right. Well, I hear the man getting up, which is early for him on a Saturday. So I think I will say goodbye now. And I hope that I hope this has been a good year in quilting for you. And if it hasn't been, if you haven't done what you set out to do, that 2018 will be a year in which you can be your true creative self. And that's what, that's, again, thinking about sit-in and wing, not getting into a QuiltCon, disappointing. But then I think, but I had so much fun making them. And with wing, I had so much fun working out that design that, it's like, yeah, it's disappointing, but it's also not the point. The process, for me, is so much the point. And that's where the joy is. So I hope that 2018 will be a year of joy for you. Even if it's a hard year, that there will be pockets of joy that you find by being creative and making quilts. Because, honey, that's what we're here for. You and me, listening to this podcast. That's what we're in this space right now. Me talking, you listening. We're all about the quilts. And that's what we love. So, joy.
Joy, joy. Now I'm just going to ramble because I don't know how to wrap this up. By the way, I'm just going to keep talking. Saw Lady Bird. Great first 45 minutes. She didn't know how to wrap up her movie. I don't know how to wrap up this episode, but I'll say Happy New Year. I will see you in 2018, and we are going to have us some fun. So I'll see you then. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.